sorry, yeah, Tuesday, June 19th, 2018, the time right now is 7:18 p.m. Ms. Atkins, will you please call the roll?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Cutaback, Rasmussen, Davis, and Ham.
Thank you, and council member Gamble is just grabbing the water right out there, so council member Gamble is here also for the quorum. We did hear from Councilmember Scarborough and Councilmember Hanford last week that they wouldn't be here this evening, so unless there's objection, please like to consider them as excused absences. Councilmember Campbell, would you give us a pledge?
Sure.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item we have on the agenda this evening is an announcement, or rather a presentation, a proclamation for the Everett Speedway. This is for Speed Week 2018. Whereas since 1954, the Evergreen Speedway at the Evergreen State Fairgrounds in Monroe, Washington has been opening as the fabric of our community, providing a venue for drivers and enthusiasts to experience motorsport events and auto racing. And whereas the Evergreen Speedway includes grandstands, paved 5/8, newly repaved 3/8 mile oval, and 1/5 mile ovals, figure 8 track, motocross, road courses, karting, and 1/8 mile track strip. And whereas the Evergreen Speedway is Washington's only NASCAR home track and is known as the Super Speedway of the West and has been named one of NASCAR's top 10 short tracks in the country for the past 5 years. And whereas in 2018, the Evergreen Speedway celebrates Speed Week from June 24th through June 30th, which features a number of racing and race-related events, including the Summer Showdown. And whereas the 2018 Summer Showdown, to be held June 29th through 30th, is the largest and richest NASCAR-sanctioned short track event in the country. And whereas the Summer Showdown not only attracts the top super late models in the western United States, it also brings nationally acclaimed drivers from as far away as North Carolina, Texas, Georgia, and Florida. And whereas over 50 super late model drivers will be battling for the $25,000 first prize award, and over $125,000 will be distributed in total prize money. And whereas Speed51.com has named the Super Showdown as one of the top 10 must-see short track races of the country in 2017. And Speedway Illustrated is named the Summer Showdown as one of the top 10 bucket list short track events to attend in America. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, proclaim the week of June 24th through June 30th as Speed Week and encourage the Rose residents and businesses to celebrate the Rose racing history by attending the exciting events being held at the Everett Speedway. And we have representatives from Speedway here tonight. Would you come up and say a few words?
Thank you guys for the honor of being Speed Week once again in a row. This year's event is growing quite a bit. We already have 40 plus late model teams registered right now from 10 different states and 2 Canadian provinces coming in. Some of the biggest name drivers in the country that have been here before are coming back as well. The Rio Hotel Commission earlier really sold out, which is great. It's great for our business community. We're looking forward to it this year. We want to invite you guys to come out, some flyers here, meet you guys for the businesses as well. We're really excited to be a great history part of Monroe. I've had a chance to work at Speedway the last couple of years and just see how this community loves Speedway. And it's funny, you know, you walk into the place and they know everybody does a drive or has been there at some point in their life track, and then some event, whether it be a small event or a big event. And we thank you guys for stepping up to bring Speedway and bring us Speedway this year.
Thank you very much. Councilors, just one up. Right, I'll sit in the center. Maybe another field for however you want to. All right, everybody in? Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take a look. All right, next item we have on our agenda this evening is public comments. This is the time set aside for members of the audience of the public to speak to City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe affecting constitutional matter that is subject to public hearing. We have a sign-in sheet. Mr. Dick King. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you, sir.
Dick King, 13707, 254th Avenue, Southeast Monroe. And I thought that you had something to do with, the wheel ADV ordinance that Monroe recently passed. I guess you might say I'm here on a fact-finding mission. I'm going to read a few facts, and the mission, your mission, will be to find out if they're relevant to the ordinance that you're already passed.
Point of order. Is the microphone?
Oh, yeah, I'll pick up the microphone.
Can I use it?
There you go.
Is it using it?
It is.
Thank you.
There's several ordinances that I looked up, state laws that I felt was pertaining to the ordinance that the city passed, which I read your requirements for the ATVs, and I felt that these were pertinent to that. Any vehicle with deposits of mud, rocks, or other debris on the vehicle's body, fenders, frame, undercarriage, wheels, or tires shall be cleaned of such material before the operation of the vehicle on a paved public highway. RCW 4637, fenders are splash aprons. Except as authorized under subsection 2, no person may operate any motor vehicle, trailer, cargo extension, semi-trailer, equipment that is not equipped with fenders, covers, flaps, splash aprons, adequate for minimizing the spray or splash of water or mud from the roadway to the rear of the vehicle. All such devices shall be as wide as the tires behind which they are mounted and extend downward to at least the center of the axle. Item 7. Fenders. All wheels of a motor vehicle must be equipped with fenders designed to cover the entire tire tread width that comes in contact with the road surface. Coverage of the tire tread circumference must be from at least 15 degrees in front and at least 75 degrees to the rear of the vehicle center line at each wheel, measured from the center of the wheel rotation. Bumpers. The motor vehicle must be equipped with a bumper on both front and rear of the vehicle, with the exception of motor vehicles for the original or predominant body configuration provided by a recognized manufacturer did not include such bumper or bumpers in the design of the vehicle. Bumpers are optional equipment on vehicles defined as street rod vehicles, custom vehicles, and kit vehicles. Bumpers, unless specifically exempted above, must be at least 4.5 inches in vertical height. Now, personally, I've viewed some of these on the streets already that I would think would be in violation of all these rules at one time.
Thank you very much. Is this your phone number 360-794-8645?
Yes.
Okay. Is that in all of that's written right there?
Pardon me?
This is all written on here, which you just wrote to us?
No, I didn't.
We need it. Just ask you if you can give this to our acting police chief. We'll take a look at it, and somebody from our police department will be back to respond. Yeah. Thank you very much for doing this.
That be you?
Mr. Dick,
that be you.
Thank you. Great. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward and speak to this?
Yeah, I would speak.
Is this the appropriate?
This would be the appropriate. Yes, sir. Pastor Nick?
Sorry, I didn't sign up. I'm Pastor Thomas Minnick. Heritage Baptist Fellowship, I live at 13789 194th Drive Southeast, here in Monroe. And I want to speak to the Bill 18141 that's on the agenda for tonight. The church strongly opposes this action. I think it's a rush to action without due consideration of the options that may not be available. All the council members received my email expressing our disappointment that this is even on the agenda without some us in some way or allowing us to be part of the process. We have no desire for the city to risk a sizable grant, but with all due respect, this action threatens to take far more than that amount away from us. And so we would like time to work together with staff, see if there might be an alternative to this action that would not put our church in significant economic peril. Okay?
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else like to move over to?
Actually,
okay.
Can I?
Yes,
yeah. Actually, we do not need.
Sorry.
Shit. You wouldn't take a public speaking all the time. I brought some wording for a possible amendment if, in fact, the city decides to go ahead with this. We should not be. In some way, just a little bit of time to explore options. Okay. Really done so.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Is there anything else you'd like to look forward to speaking to the City Council this evening? Okay, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move on to Councilmember reports. And then Councilmember reports. Okay, seeing none, we're going to move to staff department reports. And then staff department reports. We're going to go ahead and move into Mayor and Administrator reports then. Do you have a City Administrator update?
Just briefly, Council, we've got in front of you the agenda for the 26th of the regular Council meeting, and it is relatively short. Most of these items have been reviewed previously and are just returning for final action on the 26th. And looking forward, just a reminder again that your Council meeting on June 3rd is canceled in the July 3rd, and observance of Independence Day, and then we'll be back on the 10th for our regular council meeting. So you can see there nothing specific coming up that I just want to draw your attention to, other than to take a look at the agenda and see what's coming forward. Any questions?
That's over.
Okay. I will be absent for 2 weeks.
Is there any other updates on future meeting here?
There's a possibility, yeah.
On the 26th?
Okay. And you already have the meeting on the
26th? Okay.
Does the shape of the guest?
I was going to say, this wasn't reflected. I remember you mentioned this.
Yep.
So,
gone.
Yes. That's good. That's the rest of the
policy on the
10th. Okay. Any other? Put those over here. Okay, thank you. Right, anything else? Yes. We have two on this. We have Cutterback, Gamble, and.
I could be here. It's just
well, there's a likelihood that I
kind of coach an all-star team.
But yeah,
we're not right. We're not four.
Right. Okay, so right now we have five councilors present. We'll make phone calls to follow up.
Sure.
All right. Okay, anything else? All right. And that's me. I don't have anything specific for this evening. And go ahead and move on to discussion items. So the first discussion item we have this evening is EB-8-140, discussion of school safety. And I'd like to go ahead and start by introducing everybody around the table. Go ahead and start.
Justin Springer, School Resource Officer.
thoughts, Mr. Chair. We'll go ahead and just a preface on this. So, as we're all aware, we've had a number of safety issues in public, a number of them have been in schools involved in active shooters. After one of the incidents back in the spring, request been by a couple council members that we pick up the city and the school district and just talk about school safety, the sorts of things that we're doing today, how that's working, and what else we can do to provide for school safety. So, go ahead and hand things over to other sites or Mr. Peterson. Do you have anything further?
My name is Larry Dickerson. I'm the interim public safety director for the city. Myself and Deborah met with the DEVA here about a month ago, and we had discussions, and one of the things that came up were some of the things that they were doing in the schools to make them safer for the kids. And obviously, we talked a little bit about maybe one of the things that we could do is meet the police department to meet Deborah, of course, to meet monthly with you, and any issues that come up, then I can obviously take them out to the department and deal with some of those things. But I think the important thing here is we have a lot of major issues occurring in this country right now across our land. It seems like about every month there's some type of shooting in school. And I know for a fact it's happened up here this evening. I don't think yet. I know Marysville had tragedies and several other schools. So high school at North Thurston, I went there when I was much younger, and we had a young lad in there with a gun, and the teacher was able to disarm that person before anything happened. So a lot of stuff happens that we don't hear about. This, to me, is a very important subject, and safety of our kids is really important to me, and I know it's important to you. We kind of want to let you know what we're doing. I have our deputy chief here, Ryan Levy, and Mr. Stringer, our school resource officer, and Ryan probably is going to talk a little bit about the training that we're doing, with our police officers. And you know, obviously, things do happen at the school. If you look at the statistics we have, we provide statistics for you to look at. A lot of that stuff comes through Springer, and he does a lot of investigating follow-up. And I think one of the concerns we have is we don't want something like that happened in Parkland to happen here, where we overlook something and something does happen. And so we kind of want to give you a little overview here when it's time on what we're doing as far as training goes, working closely with the school, and other than that, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to move the podium up a little bit so we can hear
year as opposed to the school year, and so when you divide it by school year, I end up with a 70-30 split. So I just wanted to make that clear. It wasn't currently intended, although that's the way that the contract had worked out. So that's all I have to add. Other than when I was doing my research for this agenda bill, I was really pleasantly surprised on two accounts. One is, if you take a look at the first page of the agenda bill, there's an outline of kind of what we all consider to be best practices around school safety, and I really feel like together with the school district, we're implementing, I think, everything that is recommended as best practices. It was particularly, I think, also happy to see that there's a lot of investment in behavioral health, which I think has not been previously on the list of things as more of a preventative measure, trying to reach students really early on when they're beginning to feel anxious about things that are going on. And so I have to give real credit to DECA and members of the school board that are here for that investment, because I think out of all the things that we're hearing, particularly most recently, I think that investment is, will return kind of in the long run, besides some of the things that DECA and the school districts are doing to invest in trying to make the schools themselves safer just around the facility improvements that they're currently doing. So I don't have anything further to add, but would like to provide an opportunity for DECA to speak just a little bit about what she and the school are currently investing in.
So presently in
because we don't have the right person involved, then it doesn't necessarily maximize benefit. So, it's super important to know that it would really, really speak to that as well. So, and then one of the things that we're in the process of talking about right now is
it's not just a response strategy, it's a permission strategy, it's the reality, 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 it's the reality that you look at things that might just be concerning, that might not even be a real threat. It's just concerning to me from all of our different backgrounds, look at it and say, what's really going on? What is the other concern? How do we build a safety plan for this that helps us succeed and also ensure safety? And so one of the things that we're going to be playing into next year is really emphasizing how important the predecessor process is with our administrators at all of our school levels. It's hard to think of an elementary school getting those administrators that we've seen historically that's happened. So having administrators who perhaps 10 years ago would take a common in an actual grade classroom very likely, they need to be able to take those things with an appropriate level of seriousness without being traumatized here. So I think the partnership we have with the assessment team process is the most important.
How are we empowering kids, you know, social media, in social media sites, and maybe people think that we're not on social media? Do you have a process where you're encouraging kids to come forward, and
technologies are very important. We have several reporting options for our students, and we're actually sending out quarterly reminders to 100% of kids in our district now, reminding them that they can report three indicators, special circumstances, anonymously if they want, through email, through phone, or whatever that looks like. The other piece that I think is really important is we don't have law enforcement or myself. We're not the ones going into the classroom to talk to the kids about violent events. I am working with our teachers and giving them tools to talk to the kids. And doing that, because we think it's really important that the kids build that relationship with the teacher in the classroom. And we've seen an amazing amount of success from kids who their friends trying to commit suicide, and they have no one to talk to them. So they're not having a conversation at home. They're seeing these kinds of things on the news every night, and they just feel like who goes to. And all of a sudden, now the teacher is a safe place where they can have this conversation, they can establish this relationship. So now they feel empowered to talk to the teacher, or they feel a little safer using some tracking reports that come through here at the school board or administration looking at it, and how much?
So that program is called Safe School Support. And that is that anonymous reporting goes through. I talked about if you get it, anonymous or not, you can report all those measures. And that goes through our human resources department, and it goes through the school admin. We act on those things all the time.
Have you been doing those with officer strength, aggregating those, get an idea of what the overall picture is from the court?
We just had one recently, actually, we were just discussing today. So as they come in, there's a local concern, we just share with communities to kind of pay for the big names involved and the popular tools involved. Sometimes if they're anonymous, we document it,
sure.
And then we keep that and focus that somebody wants to get more information.
Right. But I guess where I'm looking at them a little bit of so I mean this is a reporting mechanism and you've got them to raise money, so I gave you guys, which is awesome, we get together and do this stuff. But are we at any time looking back and saying, hey, why do we have, you know, do we have to be keeping on this, you know, to bring sort of the feet? Are we looking at any sort of data in the backwards to say, hey, are there specific times that we seem to be getting more reports from in? Just really kind of being more smart with the data collection and getting them on this forecast and looking at allocation resources and doing this stuff.
Our human resources director is our primary manager of our CSO sort of focus. She has all of that data, so I feel good with the answer to your question.
Okay, fair enough.
So, one of the things that we need to not necessarily how we're talking about, but we do have monitoring reports that are presented to the school board, which are annual reports on any specific topic. So, one of the things that we did very specifically on our reports of all intimidation, so not necessarily this, but just the goals. So, this is a huge source that even if teachers call or there's a discipline involved, CPS reports, those, all of those things are put together. And it would be hard to track the pattern of this, but those numbers are
different. Because I'm actually looking at this from a couple of ways, from the standpoint of looking at the trend of the other side of the thing, okay, we have events that are happening, they're not being reported. And over a long extended period of time, something not being utilized, or maybe an after action, if you didn't know something, right? Even if we did hear about it, we should have gotten a sliver. This was going on, social media, where the kids were leaving for a week, and all those dumb parents that were around it, assuming that that week, they were like, why did it happen? And the parents did not report it, and then I got communicated about it. Just an idea of, well, hey, are we, the data that we're being collected in there, if events are happening, what percentage of the time are we doing the report to communities as opposed to just really defining this one? Yeah,
right now.
What is the age? What are other ways of marketing this information to show people that they're involved? What are these chambers of kids and all that? Just fabric the community type organization. Most of the lines, you know, the kids and the lines and the rules and those stuff. So they're going to hang out. Thanks.
Anything further? We'll talk a little bit about what we're doing with the school resource officer, the school district contracts with us. Is it happen to do the for the three quarters?
Thank you.
What is this?
The mayor was asking how much time is the school resource officer dedicated to the school district, and so that's during the school year, and it's he's currently working 10 for 10.
It's full-time
during the school year. And then he's signed back into the regular department to
get
us for the 10 months or 9.5 months.
That's what we're going
to do. I just had a question about, you know, where you spend your time. And I at first maybe at some cross high school, there's a lot of ground to cover. You know, school and doing that, and just a question about that here. Can you be the best person to answer that? Well, I mean, it says here that 137 goes into the police responsibility, and then you have 53 up here. What's missing? 53 at the high school, 8 things, but over here, the total is 137, and I think the same time frame. Over here in the police responses, so where the rest kind of discarded or weren't necessarily rose to the level of a case?
Yes.
Okay.
So the incidents are different than the case.
Right.
The incidents should be a complaint for somehow dispatched in our tasks. Or I create an incident or whatever, that doesn't like the case. Report school, report something, it's just like, oh, it's not what this report
is. Right. And so you spend on an average week, you spend the majority of your time in high school. I mean, do you have set hours that you go to the school, or is that a...
Most of my time at the high school, I do have some set weeks of your training at the grade level, so the department's in high school, and if they're outside of that, I've done career fairs, speaking. It's depends on what teacher and other students can go there for whatever presentation, that kind of thing.
Best you can to evade in the last situation you can present yourself.
safely, send their kids out to a safe place. And that's part of the reason why we're training the kids, because it's very possible if an event is occurring, it happens in an unstructured time, all the kids have all these rules that know best practices, so I don't see anybody cowering under this. So if those kids go take care of themselves, the teacher now has the ability to make a choice. We do not train them, and it's because of that. We don't have time to train them online, which is part of our lives. Not law enforcement officers. So what I can't do is I can't look at the teacher and say, we will get that. I certainly as best as I am, again, that's why I love as much time as I can give to teachers, because the more time I have, the more tools I can give for a toolbox, so when they're in that situation, they can make a choice.
I commend you to the right staff, the right position, really.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So a couple things. Actually, just is there any on the notification process? We have an app that currently has a phone Skype and checking. Is there any way to integrate the notification from there? It's just to already in that.
So we can do communications with them. So as soon as we have information.
No, I got that. I'm talking about the other one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So people are putting in?
Yeah, but there's a spot there, you know, that they would have a real safety concern on security. I'm trying to think more of back to you guys, because unfortunately, being written, they're using this one, Facebook, and Fox News, and actually on these posts. So I was just trying to think of the different funds that are already in place. That's the one that one way.
Great, but you know, they sort of have, they know that. You know,
investments we need to do, like the building costs, that's more, so I'm putting on a different hat that we have under, you know, organization that we pass through to, the funds for that. I just want to continue the conversation. I think this is just a good one.
On that note, with the capital improvements, we've had discussions, or at least I've had discussions with Senator Colombo, one area that he is interested in, because we've talked about changing the conversation. You know, the conversation right now is do something about them, or don't do something about them. And what we're finding is, at least in the conversation Guy and I have, it's like, okay, if we continue this debate, we're not going to get anywhere. We need to change the focus. This is about school safety. It's about school safety. What are we doing to keep our kids safe? So, Senator Colombo is very interested in that. He's looking at legislation rates. He said, you know, we've got to make our school safety. We obviously are going to need safe policy. So, that conversation is an ongoing conversation, and I would suggest, you know, reaching out to our 39th delegation as well. Say, what are we doing to look at school safety?
So, yeah, this, from that perspective, you know, obviously, we need to do this from the SRO program, the budget impacts, the throwing that on the table, we're collaborating with the agenda. To your point, maybe we could have the Preparedness Committee standpoint. We've got our list that we send to our office down on the
service about the ability to share the figures on that. I know that city staff meets and give communication with the schools on a regular basis. I've been in two of those meetings in the past during the day. So maybe it's just a matter of concern with the other school, the district, the school board, every few months or so. We did have a great time for a couple years and maybe everyone's having this conversation.
And maybe it's included in the hard work on a basis, just where we're at in the process. That would be totally related.
Okay, so this case in the monthly meetings work, just like we do in the social worker having we'll talk about faults for service or something related to this or that sort of so we can identify that element of our work.
I want something that is a doc that's in place so that doesn't get lost. Okay, where are we in the initial assessment?
All right, anything further? Okay, thank you all very much for coming to this meeting. And Scott will be the next one. Go ahead and pause for a second.
The zoning comprehensive plan as limited as it is.
third one is simply because there may be something that we don't know and we haven't thought. And so one thing that Zach Wells brought up is there's also the option of pursuing an alternative to the property of the commercial. Again, our job is to give all the options to suggest that we have all the options. So that's the compliance portion of it. The second portion of it is timing. And so with the timing, as I stated, we have not received our plat schedule from the Building Hearing Board. However, the city did receive a grant for $1 million from Department of Ecology. Department of Ecology told the city that we were denied the grant because we were not in the plat. The city staff turned around and engaged Ecology, essentially asking, is there any leniency on this? Is there any path that we still pursue or move forward with the grant? What Ecology came back with is essentially said, we don't technically sign and accept the grant. That's not the grant. And so, if you could come into compliance before that September 30th deadline, we could still get the grant. I want to say in the options and looking for basically a staff recommendation of how can we reach the Office of the Hearing Board in time for the grant, that the only one that I can come up with, and this is still not 100% just because of the process involved, is to pursue the recognition of the space on this situation. And essentially why I worry about timing is it not only involves staff review, it also goes to Department of Commerce review, and they have a mandatory review that requests you have to go through as the subject of CEO State Policy Act, which has a review time review window, goes through the Planning Commission, and then goes to City Council. And so all of that prior to September 30th is a very, very tight timeline. The one thing that I want to reiterate as far as staff's request tonight is this isn't a decision to go with limited open space. This is just giving staff to go ahead and start pursuing the county. The decision to go to limited open space or whatever the council chooses will happen up towards that end time. Because we saw which time we should have sent over comment at the public hearing and saw it with the council. So that's the actual decision time that's in place. Right now, what staff is requesting is council issues to locate to go ahead and start pursuing this out west. Because if we wait, we're not going to be in time, and we will be in time. And so that's what I really wanted to make those two things different between just providing staff direction and actually making the decision on the goals. And so those are the two areas. One thing to address past minutes comments tonight, and we did have discussions the other day regarding the requested action from staff. And one thing that he had mentioned is, and he handed out tonight for the after his public testimony, was including the notice directing staff to work with the property owner to determine the scope and issue acceptable alternative means to bring the city into compliance. And so one of the things that working, talking with Pastor Minnick and also in discussion with the city attorney, this is a legislative action, so it involves the public. And I don't want to think by any means, once we start going down this direction, staff will ignore anybody else's input or anything else that comes in during this time session. We can go two paths. We pursue the LOS zone while we still have this open time. And so that's what you'll see a handout that I put as an alternative action. The top is AB18-140, accompanying the agenda bill. Essentially, the first part of that is all the same as the staff's requested action, with the addition of, and also direct staff to work with stakeholders involved as appropriate, was an alternative resolution. And so that would still, and again, with or without you continue to work on this, this additional language will hopefully satisfy any concerns about, that this closes the door on any of the discussions and any of the discussions that are on the So with that,
before you do the presentation,
I would just add that working with stakeholders is something that we do as a normal course of business, and we have been
clarification, it's probably the clearest explanation of the complex, but I haven't heard it, so.
Note to.
The answer to one question, so assuming, well, we can start off with the first one. Compliance with road management. I've heard that we are out of compliance with all the jurisdictions. Has anyone asked them if we go back to LOS? Or is that just?
That is, I believe, just in discussions with the city attorney, essentially, we're reaffirming through the continued, you know, interim zoning of the LOS zone, just reaffirming what it was.
Because I'm just concerned that if we go over there, like September 30th, we go take that final step, and then whatever we see, road management, road management, so no, we still have compliance with it. That's what I
appreciate you bringing that up. If they don't want to by any means say that any process is just not done, because it is still a process. So we have SEPA, any group members of all have got to do SEPA, to make a decision to make a decision.
So I trust the work that you're doing. To establish a, essentially, it's a timeline for a manager that we have to do something. So there's no vote tonight. When would we have to, if we're doing this parallel, when would we have to, when would we have to make a statement that says this is the direction we're going, regardless of the.
It's tough because just with the limited open space zoning, as I said, I'm fairly confident that I'm 100% sure we can do that. If we have a hiccup along the way, it's going to be something as little as we don't have to do it tonight. And, you know, just out in a couple of weeks, could present that. It all depends on if there is another alternative that's brought forward. It all depends on what that alternative is, how something will have some delay. I just don't know, because that's where we, when we're writing this, with the, there's definitely no alternatives to city energy funds. We gave an example, but there may be something out there that I can't think of, but it is.
I assume the crystal ball is going to be a problem. Okay, I think the other questions I have go back to discussion we just had. That if we're doing this, other groups, possible alternatives, as long as we meet the 9:30 or we have an expansion that allows us to do whatever we have to do. I think that involves everybody who's been involved in this issue.
Thank you. Customer Gavin, just a clarification, you looking for a motion on AB?
We're going to take action tonight, so for consensus, if I'm understanding that there's no objection to what sounds like the alternate language that Mr. Swanson handed out, then that was the direction that I'm giving the staff to follow through. And so is there an objection to the alternate language?
No.
No. But if I mean, if there's something in my definition for what will bring us back to compliance, that would be interesting. And to get the balls into the
so before we go to the subject, is
that? Yes, I just wanted to clarify that I thought that Mr. Swanson had said to me previously, but that I didn't see in the table under fiscal impact. Under steps, we enter council review, but it's my recollection that we had talked about that also needs to be in the UN and the growth management hearings board, and that needs to be scheduled. Right. Did I call that
correct? Correct. Correct. Yeah, it's there was an interim block. Yeah, also the council
act. Right, so we have to have time to get in front of them, and that time also needs to be in front of that.
And they only need one. I'm sorry, whoever got the
Thank you. We're going to move on to discussion item number three. This is AB 18-142. Discussion of temporary security for construction sites for Mr. Swanson.
Thank you. So, in March of 2018, City Council adopted an emergency ordinance, essentially permitting the temporary security containment on site. And what that essentially did is before we had a lot of issues with RVs and trailers, as well as people in the right of way and living in them. And over kind of the course of years, we tackled down the regulations that were very difficult for someone. To utilize them for, say, in this case, an on-site security function. And what we had was like ultimately two contractors come up that had concerns, one had major concerns about, you know, being in the job site unattended, and like somebody to stay there in a trailer in this case, at night just to watch everything and make sure that nothing was taken or set on fire, particularly if it was abandoned to be used to certain problems that had to be.
Yeah, when you're done.
Oh, no, right. I got you.
So we took this. Through.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, keep on, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah. So we took this to City Council as an emergency amendment because we at least one of the individuals had concerns. And so it went through, council approved it, the ordinance was good for 6 months, and we met the requirements of our public hearing. And so now what we're doing is essentially taking this ordinance through the appropriate process of the public hearing, pending commission meeting, and both planning commission and general public, and bringing it back to council. And so, to note, and this is on the first page of the agenda bill, the Planning Commission did recommend a change to the proposed ordinance and emergency ordinance passed by council, and that was essentially the number of buildings that's allowed per site. And so you'll see the slide and table that increases to 5 buildings. So with that, that's the only change is suggested at the time that the council.
Mayor Deputy Chief Camp.
Thank you.
Don't give my ear.
Yes, that's true. That was a little good. Okay, so they want to change, they want to restrict the number of people. Are there any restrictions on the type of domicile that's being used by? I mean, trailer versus shack versus a tent?
We label it out to a mobile, so it included RVs and trailers, and we gave some examples in the definition that, you know, it had to be mobile on and off site. And, right. And when staff originally brought this forward, so you'll see that, you know, Planning Commission actually recommended an increase in the allowable per lot per acre count. Staff originally brought forward. And it was one of those things where we were, you know, moving forward as an option as far as aware of all the problems that were passed. And so that suggested one was, just a cautious approach. However, where the conservative planning commission was, is if you have a large enough site, a single RV or a single trailer would be able to observe and watch around the entire site. One of the other options that we discussed was potentially a bike entrance map. You know, if you have two entrances to the plat, you can fairly have a vehicle for an entrance and have a logical site plan. As we discussed that theory, that got more complicated. We're talking about construction entrances, we're talking about permanent entrances, and so that's where the option is.
The only concern I really have is type of structure. I have seen people, I would say, less than minimum living facilities have been assigned to watch. And I think that the construction group should be responsible for adequate living resources for someone who could stay there. The most urgent anything less than that should be appropriate out of the detriment of the comments.
Yeah, I need that.
And if this is going back to the planning commission,
Councilor Cutback?
Has there been public comment yet?
It was the one, the same individual that testified that had heard it.
That one, the comment.
Correct. And he called me the night before, essentially asking, couldn't make it. And he said, well, it sounds like everything's moving forward in the direction I want to go.
And then where did we get the maximum number? Like, where did that come from? The Planning Commission developed it? Did it come from another jurisdiction? Did the Planning Commission kind of came up with that? And was that from input from the developers, or was it just kind of came up with it?
No, the developers didn't show up at the actual workshop with the parents, and it was just discussion on what they feel, just thinking about the overall acre size, of 5 acres or about, and if that would be sufficient to have to cover those territories.
So I guess I can just ask that maybe it's possible to get some input from developers, because if it's not, that doesn't mean we're being responsible. If we just kind of, if we have one guy that's been commenting, maybe we can even ask them.
I know for his situation, I did ask him.
He
said one.
That's why I'm curious, if Planning Commission expanded it, and I was wondering, was that based on any comments from people saying they need it? Are we creating a problem when we, more units when it's not necessary? I don't know. We're going through this process, so that was just a question.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Were we told that's an error?
It was not based on any comments.
Coming up with that.
Exactly.
Thinking is the need, but we don't know if it's one individual that wants. And then my other question was, is one that it's a new construction? Why is that? When I see it in the temporary, it says for subdivision and then new commercial industrial. So if someone were going in and doing an overhaul of the structures are up and it's not new, but the remodeling, which would be allowed?
So we wrote it for the intent of new construction, just due to the amount of material that's on site. As far as remodeling, we didn't really go down that road too much because we hadn't had any comments.
Need for it? Okay.
Exactly.
Just curious. So,
One thing to follow up on.
Yeah.
What we've heard from is the same thing. So when we originally wrote this, we took into account that there's a problem for the commercial industry.
Right.
So we expanded the scope of the back of the first thing.
Right.
And so with this, I mean, there's we're taking forward to the next city council meeting, however, I can always, get more input from the Planning Commission.